The following podcast is a work of fiction. All characters are the creation of Peter Williams. Any resemblance to someone living or dead is purely coincidental. Thank you.
Hi, it's Peter Williams, and before I let my alter ego take over with his usual snarky demeanor, I thought I'd drop in and do the caution message myself. As usual, the podcast does contain images of graphic violence and foul language. However, this week we touch on a very sensitive topic, SIDS, also known as sudden infant death syndrome. It's a heartbreaking thing for a family to go through, and yes, I know this personally. I lost my sister to SIDS when I was about 2. And while I was very young when we lost Catherine, it left an indelible mark on me. I can't tell you the amount of times I watched over my children when they were very young just to make sure that they were breathing. So, if you or you know someone who has lost a child to SIDS and you need to talk to someone, you can call First Candle at 1-800-221-7437. They are a bereavement and counseling group, and they are there for you if you need them. Now, back to Uriel's apprentice and our host, Lord Piotra.
Death. Death can be such a cruel, heartless thing. Taking our loved ones from us. Striking someone down in an unexpected moment. Or slowly sapping away everything from them until nothing is left. The worst, by far, is death of a child. All possibilities wiped away before life even has a chance. Leaving a family empty. Leaving a family hurting. But when death crawls into your house as a malignancy that most humans never encounter, it leaves a lingering shadow and a child standing at the steps of heaven.
Jonah's need to pee outweighed his fear for the shadows that always watched him in his room, their long, toothless grins almost drooling over his small body. He uncovered himself from his makeshift blanket fortress and slipped into his slippers. He gulped, because immediately their eyes were all on him, weighing heavily on him, and he immediately began to shake uncontrollably. He grabbed at himself tightly. He didn't want to have an accident. He was 6. 6-year-olds aren't allowed to wet themselves. He made his way past their lurking arms that reached at him in the moonlight and started to run down the hall towards the bathroom. He was more than relieved that he made it there without incident, but he looked down the hall back towards his room. What should have been a few feet looked like an endless mile of floor and bedroom doors. His breath turned icy. The vapors, a cloudy mist, hung in the air like a spirit before him. He gulped, shaking again to the point where even taking a step seemed more like a wobble than a motion forward. Something was here. His left arm ached, his hand too. He wanted to crawl up in a ball and hide. Why? Why do they keep coming for him? As he neared his sister's door, it opened. Slowly, with a creak that froze him to the spot, a pair of red eyes gleamed from over his sister's bed. Reagan? He called out to her, but all he could hear was slurping noises. He watched in horror as this thing of ash and bone held Reagan by her tiny foot and dropped her back into the toddler bed. Reagan! He squeaked out again.
Has returned. Good, because I'm so hungry.
It pointed one of his 3 elongated talons at him, and he could feel himself being dragged into the room, the door slamming behind him. He tried to move but couldn't. Every muscle, every joint locked into place from the utter horror of the thing that lowered its head towards him. He choked at the foul stench it gave off, a rancorous, venomous face of malign bone and flesh, drooling as it sniffed him in delight.
So long have I waited for such a wondrous delight, and your sister was just an appetizer.
It spoke in a hiss-like whisper. Jonah's arm ached to the point where he thought it was going to snap. A curious blue glow began to emanate from his left hand. The thing lowered itself and poked at his hand in curiosity.
What's this? What's this? Oh, the smell. It's so wonderful. I must have it.
Jonah felt it nuzzle his hand and lick his flesh. Pain. Enormous pain. His hand ripped open and Jonah let out a scream as a smattering of blood sprayed the creature's face. The blue light glowing strong as the demon swayed as if transfixed by the glow, by the scent of something wonderful. Then the demon went stiff as Jonah's arm raised itself into the air, locking itself into place as it aimed itself at the demon's face. The demon's look of glee was quickly wiped away as the light struck out, enveloping the creature in its glow.
What trick is this?
The gurgling sound was getting sickening as Jonah could hear limbs snapping, compressing.
Stop! It hurts!
It cried as it struggled, pulling away, grabbing at anything, but unable to escape the glowing ball of light that had consumed it. Jonah's arm seemed to swell and contort as it seemed to pull the monstrosity into himself, into him. He watched in fascination, unable to stop it, unable to look away.
Please! Stop! It hurts! It hurts!
But his arm never dropped, and he never yielded until the last whisper of demonic energy vanished into his left hand. Then Jonah's eyes rolled into his head, and he collapsed into a heap on the floor. As he drifted away, he could hear his parents now, running, calling out towards him, calling out to Reagan. His mother screamed an inhuman cry as she picked up the broken doll-like body of his sister. His mother broke down into sobs while his father lifted him off the floor. Jonah felt himself continue to drift away, the room, the world falling below him, pulled instead into a warm, comforting light. He could hear his dad over and over calling out his name. Jonah! Jonah! But the tonality and cadence changed from the deep, pain-ridden woes of a heartbroken father into something soft, something feminine. Jonah! Jonah! He turned. He was standing in a field surrounded by hills. A river cut through it and into a deep, thick forest. He could see streaks of light flash as they seemed to be heading away and up into a looming mountain range. A soft melody floated in on a breeze. He turned to follow it, and the scenery changed with his motion. He was now standing outside an unimaginable garden. Where am I? At the steps of heaven. Someone spoke from behind him, and he twirled around. A woman, tall, wearing polished armor that gleamed in the sunlight, making it hard to see her face. Her hair was long, silver, her eyes a blazing blue. At her side hung a sword. It was about 4 feet long, the end shaped like a hammer, or even a key. The steps of heaven? Am I? No, Jonah. You're outside of time. This whole place is. The garden was vast. There were flowering plants and trees of every type. A multitude of birds sung, and in the middle rose a small dais. Next to a huge oak tree, he could see a flower-covered swing that moved back and forth on its own, as if someone was still swinging. He looked at the woman wearing the armor and asked, "Who are you?" She just smiled and knelt so that she could be at his level, and he could see her face clearly for the first time. Her skin light-colored, her lips red as a cardinal's feathers. She was stunning. She ignored his question and continued. "I have someone who wants to see you." She motioned, and a little girl with strawberry hair wearing a green onesie with little watermelons on it peered out from behind the woman. "Reagan?" She nodded. Reagan ran over to him and gave him a big hug. Tears filled both their eyes, and he began to apologize profusely for not being able to save her. She shook her head and wiped away his tears. Don't be sorry for something that isn't your fault, Reagan said. Jonah was surprised at how mature she seemed, and suddenly he saw her completely different, as she would have been as an adult. He stepped back, amazed by the transformation. We don't have age here, the strange woman explained, nor pain, nor sin. When she crosses over, she will be with everyone she's ever loved or ever been loved by, even though some of them aren't truly here yet. Reagan interrupted. Once more, she seemed small, childlike. I was told to give you a gift before I go, she said. May I see your left hand? My left hand? He remembered now. The demon, the way his hand had ripped open, the way it had swallowed it. It had to be a mangled mess. He didn't want her to see that. He hid it behind his back. I don't think so. It's okay, Jonah. Your sister and I can handle it. Her voice had such a reassuring sound, he felt compelled to do as she asked. He shuffled his feet and slowly extended his left hand towards Reagan. The corruption from the demon had turned it black, his flesh smoldering. The center of his palm ripped open and blood-stained. He was shocked, embarrassed by it. For a place that had no pain or sin, he felt unworthy. The woman sensed that and smiled. That's because you're not really here yet, Jonah. We're using your unconscious self to take this opportunity to help you. Help me? He felt lost and barely understood anything that was happening. Yes, he knows that the loss of Reagan will leave you with a deep sense of sadness and regret. Regret and sadness that you should not carry, but you will anyway. And that demon, Jonah, it was old, powerful, and it will take time to absorb into you. It's going to cause you different types of pain and sadness. We want to lessen that, so... Reagan had taken his hand and had begun to press something into the center of it. It glowed brightly. It's the mark of the word, Reagan said. The son of Aldone. It will seal the creature and protect you as well. He tried to smile at Reagan and politely said, Thank you. But it burnt a little. The corruption in his arm was growing darker and darker until it became as dark as obsidian. Suddenly, Jonah began to feel lightheaded, and everything around him began to blur. He stumbled and looked at them. He was pale and fading in the bright sunlight. He's being pulled back, Reagan said. The woman moved quickly towards Jonah and looked deeply into his eyes. She hurriedly spoke, trying to ensure that he received an important message. You will not remember much of this place. You will dream of me from time to time. However, I do need you to remember one thing. When you turn 14, you must leave home and find... From there, most of what she tried to relay became a garbled mess. The last intelligible words were, Café Solfeggio, whatever that meant. When he awakened, he was in his father's burly arms, his tearful eyes staring at him. Oh, thank God, the man cried. Thank God, I've got him back, honey. Jonah's back. His mother rushed over and buried her face into his chest, where she cried, heaping sobs. They had lost one child, and neither of them could have handled the loss of two. Are you okay, champ? He nodded. Oh my God, his mother exclaimed. She had seen his left arm. What's wrong, honey?
His left arm. His left arm, it's pitch black.
What the hell?
His father hadn't noticed it. He had nearly crushed Jonah when he had started breathing again. He went to touch it and received a hefty shock.
Ow! Damn, what could have...
He now noticed that something bright was shining in the middle of his palm. It was silver and looked like a molten cross.
Honey?
I'm either losing my mind, or that's the cross from Reagan's baptism. The one your mom gave us before she passed away.
The mother stared at it in confusion and agony.
What does this all mean?
I don't know. I don't know.
They wrapped Jonah's arm and told him to keep it wrapped. When the EMTs and police arrived, his parents answered as best as they could and purposely kept Jonah out of the picture. They weren't sure what to make of his arm, the silver cross, or the death of Reagan.
It would go down as an unusual case of SIDS. Jonah would have constant nightmares and bouts of what became almost a split personality. Because of his arm, they had to homeschool him. Things would remain like this for Jonah and the family into Jonah's 14th birthday.
Birthdays. Birthdays are seen as significant events by humans. Markers of age, time, childhood, teen, adulthood, and eventually, death. Such a happy thought, isn't it? We share them with loved ones. We share them with friends. We make silly posts on social media and poke fun at each other, all in good sport. But not all birthdays are fun ones. Some are marked with tears and pain. And it makes you wonder, what makes Jonah's pending 14th birthday so important? We'll find out next week in the next exciting chapter of Uriel's Apprentice. Chapter 2, 14.